In this beginning of the year, we have been asking ourselves questions to help set the trajectory of our lives and our families, our work lives, our ministries, back to God's will and desire for our lives. Today, we're going to be looking at a familiar narrative from Exodus 3, and the title of this morning's message is, What is Your Excuse? What is your excuse? And as you're either looking that up on your phones or your Bibles or preparing to look at the text on the screen, it is really, really nice to be together like this after the blizzard. And so thank you for coming out. And of course, all those that are joining us online as well, you don't really realize how special something is till you can't have it for a little bit and you just appreciate it all the more. So this is just wonderful to be together once again. Exodus 3, 9 through 11. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Will you join me in just a brief word of prayer? Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we do give you thanks for this great opportunity to be together. Thank you for a time of worship and a reminder of the greatest gift of all given to us through the children's Christmas presentation, the play. And as we look into your word, may you speak to men, women, and children that are gathered here and watching from home online. We so desperately need your word to speak, to bring life, to renew, to correct, to rebuke, to fill us, Lord. And so we come with open hearts and minds, wanting to hear from you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. For those that remember, quite a few years ago, Henry Blackaby, who is known for, he's a Southern Baptist preacher and pastor, came up with a wonderful study called Experiencing God. And to this day, some of those lessons still resonate in my heart as I navigate through life. And he says this: some people say God will never ask me to do something I can't do. I've come to the place in my life that if the assignment I sense God is giving me is something that I know I can handle, I know it is probably not from God. The kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. Henry Blackaby. Here in our passage, we have a time in the nation of Israel as they are in bondage and are slaves in a foreign land, the world superpower, the Egyptians, suffering for centuries. We can't even begin to imagine what they were going through during this time. And in verse 11, we see Moses' response to God desiring to unfold his plan through this one man. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? As we briefly take a look at Exodus 3 and a little bit of Exodus 4 with this theme of what is your excuse, I'm sure that many of you could come up with even better excuses in terms of truth and application. But let me share with you a couple that stood out for me. First of all, as you look at verse 11, I see his excuse. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? indeed a God-sized task. I'm a nobody. By this time, after spending 40 years away from the wealth and the riches and the influence and the authority and power of being part of the royal family because of his past, we'll talk about it in a moment. He was living as an ordinary person, a shepherd, blue-collar worker, whatever you want to call it. He was away from his privilege for so many decades, and God approaches him with a tremendous task, yes. And the first thing that comes up, who am I? I'm a nobody. Get a general, get another prince, get someone with influence, affluence, whatever, but I'm a nobody. Why, God, would you ask me to accomplish this kind of task? And I believe very often when God calls us to live a life that honors him and glorifies him, we often respond in a similar way with that excuse. I'm a nobody, Lord. Why me? Who am I? I'm not important enough. I'm not wealthy enough. But it's for that reason that God calls Moses to accomplish a kind of work and assignment to bring the people out of enslavement, to continue the promises that he gave his forefathers, to work out his plan of redemption to bring the Savior into the world. Yes, a God-sized task. And so often when God calls us, no, Lord, I'm a nobody. Can any of us resonate with that excuse when God desires to work in and through our lives? Secondly, as we look at verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, they're going back and forth, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For, and Moses assured this, they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Moses is absolutely sure that when he stands not before Pharaoh, but his own people, the Israelites, they will not believe him. They will think that he is lying. He's making things up, that he's crazy. And he anticipates, what are they going to say? The Lord did not appear to you. Excuse number 2 that Moses gives, I'm not legitimate. I'm not legitimate. I'm not the real deal. My life is not put together enough. And behind this excuse, my God is giving an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm not legitimate. Because in Moses' past, he committed a great mistake, a great crime, a great error. He messed up big time. He took a life of an Egyptian. He was a murderer. And so he fled as soon as the other Jews caught wind of what he did. And I believe that haunted him his whole life because of one mistake in his past, because something that he knew he shouldn't have done, but he did. He took matters into his own hands rather than waiting on God to bring the redemption and deliverance. He took a life of another, even spending 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd, did not erase the guilt and the shame and that sense of illegitimacy. How could God ever want to be in my life and use me? I'm not legitimate. Moses' past haunts him because he was an utter failure, because of his mistakes, because of his crime, because of what he did. And not just taking a life of another, but trying to redeem Israel in his own way, in his own thoughts, in his own manners, his own plans, taking down that Egyptian. His past haunts him. How many of us, as we look back in our lives, are still haunted by decisions made, things that have happened to us, through us, that we did? Even though on the outside things look fine, it still haunts us. It makes us feel that we're living what we call an imposter syndrome. You're faking it. How could you be a servant of God? How could you be involved in sharing God's love, living life, trying to be an influence for the kingdom? Moses struggled with the same thing. Immediately, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. They're going to shoot back. The Lord did not appear to you. You're a liar, Moses. We don't believe you. Excuse number two. I'm not legitimate. How about another excuse? Verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." Excuse number three, I'm not gifted enough, Lord. I'm not a good, eloquent speaker. And how many of us, when we sense God's invitation to begin to serve him in ways that we know God is bringing into our path, "Lord, I don't have those gifts. I don't have those strengths. I don't have those experiences. I can do other things, but not that. Lord, I'm not gifted enough. I'm not good enough." Moses did the same thing. This is just unbelievable. God is so patient with Moses. It's like a battle going on. Excuse after excuse after excuse. "I'm not eloquent, so because of that, certainly you couldn't use me," as if God is not able to work through deficient vessels for his glory. "I'm not gift enough. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the education. I don't have those experiences. How could God be calling me to do this?" And as God does this tit for tat, back and forth, revealing himself, "I am is the one who is sending you. That is my name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will be with you." Moses is unrelenting. Verse 13, "Oh, Lord, please send someone else." Because why? What is this excuse number four? "I'm afraid. I'm afraid." That's ultimately what it boils down to. His fear of the unknown, his fear of failure, his fear of looking stupid and ridiculed, not only before Pharaoh, but even his fellow Israelites. "I don't want to fail. I don't want to look stupid. God, I'm afraid." And for how many of us, no matter how old you are, how young you are, when God desires to work in our lives and opens up an opportunity right before us, we come with every excuse in the book not to step into it. And I believe fear is one of those that paralyzes us from experiencing God's best for our lives. No one puts it better than Pastor Rick Warren. "All of our excuses for self-centeredness will sound hollow. I was too busy. I had my own goals. I was preoccupied with working, having fun, or preparing for retirement." To all excuses, God will respond, "Sorry, wrong answer. I created, saved, called you, commanded you to live a life of service. What part did you not understand? If you're not involved in any service or ministry, what excuse have you been using? Chuck Hartman, in an article that he wrote, said there's an old expression, God doesn't call the qualified, rather he qualifies the called. I believe God calls unqualified people so they will remain dependent on his ability and not their own ability. God may not be calling you as a child, as a youth, as a college student, as a young adult, as a middle-aged adult, as a senior. He may not be calling you to bring an entire nation out of bondage. But in this new year, and yes, through hard times, he may be calling you to really provide some leadership for your family. Maybe he's calling you to serve your spouse in sacrificial love. Maybe he's calling you to a new job, but out of fear of leaving the familiar, you refuse to even begin to look. Maybe he wants you to really grow in your faith and discipleship. Maybe you have to have a conversation with someone or address a specific situation in your life. What is God calling you to do? That rather than embrace it out of obedience, we come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. I'm not important. I'm a nobody. I'm not legitimate. Once I can work on myself and fix all the problems and be perfect, then I will answer and obey. Lord, there are so many others that are better than me. I'm not gifted enough. And Lord, to be really honest, I'm scared. But it is through those God opportunities that he gives to us that you truly can grow as a person in your humanity as a man or woman, in your faith. It is opportunities that God gives to us in this new year that if we were to embrace, that God would show up in ways that we couldn't even begin to imagine. But he will never force us, but he invites us through his gentle voice. In one of my more favorite quotes here by Ortberg that I have shared, John Ortberg, if I'm going to experience a greater measure of God's power, it usually will begin by my acting in faith, trusting God enough to take a step of obedience. Simply acknowledging information about his power is not enough. I have to get out of the boat. I have to get my feet wet. Yes, it involves a level of the unknown. Moses would not have any idea what was going to happen, how it was going to play out, how God would use him, and how here we are so many years later reading about him as part of God's written word. We never know the repercussions, the consequences, and the impact that our lives will have in the generations to come. A God-sized task calls us to wrestle with our fears and our insecurities. It is uncomfortable as we learn to give up control of our tight-fisted lives. And yet that is how God begins to move and work and grow us. As individuals, as a family, and as a church, it may cause us to look like a fool when we begin to live a life of faith. It causes us to depend upon God alone. But again and again and again, we come back to God. God, this is not a good time. We're still in a pandemic. I need to focus on myself. I need to focus on my family. When things settle down, when there's no more virus, when there's, and you fill in the blank, when will there be an ideal time? When will things be truly safe? And with all this, God reminds Moses in verse 13, he said, but I will be with you. All your excuses, I get it, but I will be with you. That means I will empower you. It will be my strength, my power. You're just the instrument and tool. I will be with you. I will fulfill my plan through you. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 56. But when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What shall flesh do to me? There was only one who could have made a legitimate excuse to do what God was calling him, and that was Jesus. Think about who he was and what God was calling him to do as his father. And Jesus could have offered every excuse in the book and would have been legitimate. And yet, as his father called him into submission and obedience, here we see Jesus hours before his crucifixion. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because he did not give in to making and giving excuses to his father, the world can experience the salvation and redemption of God because of Jesus' obedience and not making excuses. As we prepare for communion and as you leave our family service today, you have received a little bit of a guide, a little playbill for our children's Christmas presentation, and you'll find two engagement questions that I would like to just read for you and for you to think about and ask someone in your household or a friend. What excuse do you use most often when God speaks to you? And related to that, secondly, what is God calling you to do right now? As the pandemic slowly subsides, could God be calling you back to join us here in person? Of course, we always have concerns if there's underlying health concerns, and we always want everyone to be careful, but could that be an opportunity for us to listen, to reevaluate, and make some decisions? As God so invites us to. Could it be involved in serving? And we'll address that question in a few weeks. Could it be an invitation to generosity and stewardship? To consider, Lord, money is tight, but is it possible that instead of living on 99% of my income, that I could live on 1 or 2% less and begin to learn to give and invest for God's kingdom purposes, which I believe are accomplished through the local church in particular, not exclusively, but primarily? Could God be inviting you to take a serious step, to take a step to begin to grow as you realize how much the pandemic has worn on you and I in our relationship to him and others? And so this morning, I invite you to ask yourselves the two questions. What excuse do you most often use when God speaks to you? What might God be calling you to do? A change, an invitation to grow, to get reconnected, to become better stewards of your resources, your finances, your time, your energies. Maybe it is to come back and join us in worship. Whatever it is, take a moment to wrestle in your hearts. What is your excuse to live a life of no regret for the kingdom of God and his glory. Because whatever your excuse is, may you hear what he said to Moses, but I will be with you.